we get so caught up in going, like, keep going with the business, right? Like, what's next? And we completely forget about the accounting and the bookkeeping.
This is the Real Estate Pod. I'm Ed Barone, co-founder of Rent Ready, the platform that makes renting easy for landlords and tenants. With this podcast, we aim to help landlords learn, scale, and invest. We also want to help you tackle the business side of real estate investing, because being an investor or getting your first investment requires you to be an entrepreneur. It's about mindset and strategy. We partner with successful real estate investors, offering you advice and guidance on how to get started, how to scale your real estate portfolio, and how to run your business for profit. Before we get started, for those of you who aren't familiar with Rent Ready, we're an all-in-one property management platform. We help landlords manage tenants and properties by providing services for every step of the landlord process, including payments, finding the best tenants, lease signing, communications, maintenance, and a whole lot more. Stacy Rossetti is hosting the show today as part of a series that focuses on conversations with the women who are crushing it in real estate. Stacy herself is a real estate investing expert and coach out in Peachtree, Georgia, who specializes in real estate investing, rehabbing, and storage units. Let's get started.
Hey, everybody, this is Stacy Rossetti, and I am back with another badass woman in the real estate investing world. And I'm excited to introduce Anna Klein. She is a CPA in the real estate investing world, and she only works with investors and people in the real estate industry. So I'm super excited about to talk to her, and let's find out. Let's get some like tips and tricks on what we should focusing on right now. So Anna, introduce yourself, please.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. I love the fact that it's like women, badass women. It's so hard to find women, especially in the real estate industry. So I was super excited to talk about this. So I love to support women, own businesses, entrepreneurs, just like help us, you know, hype us up, because we have way too much going against us. So I'm here to help all the women in the world. So anyway, so a little bit about me. Thank you for having me. I was born in Mexico, moved to the United States when I was 15 years old. My mom decided that she wanted to live the American dream with her husband. So here we are living the American dream. I always knew I wanted to have my own business, and I just was like, I don't know, that sounds like a lot of work, blah, blah, blah. And then finally I got sick of my bosses telling me what to do. So I was like, let me just see what it's like. So I started my business about 5 years ago. I started my accounting firm. A weird thing about us, about even 5 years ago, I knew that I didn't want to be stuck in Milwaukee. So I currently live in Milwaukee. So I said, I'm going to make my business 100% virtual from day one. So even prior to COVID, I want to be able to help clients everywhere. So COVID really helped us, because people became more open to the idea of having a CPA who was not, you know, you go down the street and you knock on the door. So that really helped us. So we specialize in real estate investing. So we help clients all over the country. We also have foreign clients as well who invest here in the United States, and we help them with their tax preparation. But the biggest thing we help them with is tax planning, which you can get into, you know, later down the road, because there's a huge difference between tax preparation and tax planning. With everything going on right now with our administration, it's always an unknown. So planning your taxes is always a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So what type of clients do you have? Like, what are they investing in?
So most of my clients invest, you know, they have their portfolio. We have clients from that literally just have one, who are literally house hacking their property, to clients who have about, our biggest client has 100 properties. They also have short-term rentals. They invest in syndications. They invest in, I had a client who just purchased a storage unit facility, which is crazy and so awesome. So it really varies from literally house hacking to maybe 400 or 500 properties.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Just so you know, I invest in self storage.
Oh, I didn't know that. When I saw the numbers that my client gave me, I was like, I'm in the wrong field. I am done with duplex, dealing with the BS with my tenants. Hello, storage units.
I know, right? That's why we invest in them. We have 9 properties so far.
Yeah. Where are they, if you don't mind me asking?
They're in the Georgia, Florida area.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I knew a little bit about it, but then when I really saw the numbers and the fact that like nobody calls you, like no one's calling you to tell you that their light isn't working. But they're not easy to acquire. So I'm happy to like learn more about it with you. I'm sure we'll pick your brain.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. We love it too. And actually, you know, I'm not going to talk about us because I want to talk about you, but we just love like the kind of life that it gives you too, because we're exactly like you. We're completely virtual. So we want to be able to live and work wherever we want. And you can actually run your storage facilities completely virtual, just like your office. So I love that too.
Yeah, I love that. Well, good. Hopefully down the road we can talk about that. But yes, I appreciate it. Yeah. So that's, you know, our clients really vary from anyone related with real estate. We really focus on that because it's so different than anything else. So I'm an investor myself. So when I saw what it can do for someone's life, because like you, I tell my clients all the time, listen, I'm here for like another 10 years and then find a new accountant, because I also want to like raise a family, like live my life and just collect rents. And this is like the way that I find like the American dream can be achievable.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, good. So tell us a little bit about like, you know, what's happening, you know, in the accounting world for real estate investors, and like, what kind of tips and tricks can you give us, you know, going forward? Because I know everything's kind of up in the air right now and everything's changing all the time. What can we do about this?
So everything, as you know, is changing with the administration right now. And they, I think on the 30th or the 31st, I can't remember the exact date, they're going to vote on something. But we've been hearing this for a while. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled just to figure out what they're going to do. But it doesn't matter because that is out of our control, right? Like there's nothing we can do with what is going on in Congress and the Senate, but we can control what we're doing with our business. So I think the biggest thing why it's so important, because we as women and even other, you know, other entrepreneurs, we get so caught up in keep going with the business, right? Like, what's next? And we completely forget about the accounting and the bookkeeping, which is so boring. I get it. Trust me. Like, I know this is not fun, but it's really important to scale, because if you don't have good records and you don't have good financials, it's going to be really hard to scale. Where is your business? Like, are you really running a business? Or are you just like, you know, running around like with a chicken with his head cut off because you're trying to figure out when the next deal is, but you don't even know if you made a deal of money on this deal. So having good records has always been the number one issue my clients have. So, you know, it's already going to be November next week. I always, with any business, not just real estate, any business that you have, please sit down and either hire a bookkeeper or do it yourself. There's so many apps out there that can make it so efficient for you to do it. You don't have, it's not old school, like in the green color notebook anymore. There's apps out there to help you with this. This can help your business greatly because you can do tax planning. So at the end of the year, let's say you're like, okay, this is how much money I've made, but now I'm going to pay $80,000 in taxes. Well, we can, you know, you can talk to your CPA and say, hey, what can I do to minimize my tax liability? And when people are mad about, you know, our old president, like not paying anything, or like Jeff Bezos, or like, it's because they have people who help them like play the system. It's not because they don't want to pay taxes, but the Internal Revenue Code has been here for ages. So they just hire someone who's smarter than them. And they're like, figure out a way that I don't have to pay taxes. Thank you. Moving on with my life. So when people get mad that, you know, someone's not paying taxes, I'm like, why are you mad? You're just not playing the game like they are. So get to their level. If you can't beat them, join them and figure out how to do this. So bookkeeping is like the number one thing.
Yeah, you need a bookkeeper. I mean, nobody wants to do that. That's why you got to hire somebody to do it. And the truth is that like once, like, you know, you just like, once you really get into it, I mean, what you really should be focusing on as an investor is finding deals and finding money, right? That's what you should be focusing on. Right. So if you're sitting there trying to see your books, I'm telling y'all, it's a waste of time, a waste of your time. So just delegate that off and then just hire somebody to handle that. Now, as far as your business, how far deep do you get into like consulting your clients and stuff? I always wonder that, because sometimes I feel like with accountants or CPAs, like they just really, all they really care about is like the taxes. Which is a lot like my accountant. He also is like always cares about the taxes. But the truth of the matter is that working with the CPA or working with an accountant is really, it's really part of your strategy, It really is, you know, because like you want to have somebody to bounce ideas off, like, hey, is this a good thing that I should do or not? I'm just wondering, do you do that with your clients as well? And what kind of like, you know, what kind of examples have you done that with or anything?
Yeah, no, that's honestly why we changed the way we did our work. So when I first started my business, I was like every other accountant, hey, you believe in me, come on in, give me your money, let me do your taxes, right? And then I started to realize that I was going to be like every single person, most accountants, I should say, the majority of accountants who I call are like the Walmarts, right? It's like, it's a revolving door, the next person. And I was like, I don't want to be working 90 hours during tax season. Like who wants to do that? It sounds horrible. I don't want that. So that's why we focus on real estate. And now we do tax planning. So we really dig in to the client. So all I had was tax planning calls with my clients. It's a Zoom call. We go over, hey, how is your year going? And this is why bookkeeping is so important, because if you can't tell me how your year is going, I can't help you figure out what to do. So they bring strategies, I bring strategies to them, and then we implement them if it makes sense. We talk about their goals just to make sure that, you know, it meets their goals for whatever it is next year. But we're really playing the game. So when next year comes around, they sort of have an estimate of how much they're going to pay in taxes. So it's not a surprise. Now, that's what I love to do the most. I love to play the game. I love to see how we can save money on taxes. But a lot of people, I've gotten this question from a lot of clients who are like, hey, well, are you going to call me in the fourth quarter and ask me? And I'm like, I wish I could call all my clients, but like, I don't know. Like, if you think that something has changed in your life financially, we should talk about it, right? So call me, it's on you to call me and say, hey, and I want to schedule a call. And I think that if your CPA is not doing it, you should ask them, because it brings more value than, it's just the tax preparation is a transactional thing. Here you go. Thank you for your documents. You owe 10 grand. I'm moving on. I can do that. And a lot of people can do that. It's very transactional, but where we bring the most value and what I'm passionate about is paying the least amount of taxes as legally possible, as long as it fits your goals.
Mm-hmm. Good. Awesome. And so do you ever get into things like, you know, because especially in the real estate investing world, 1031 exchange, or like, do you see a lot of that with your clients?
Yeah.
Or even owner financing? Like, what kind of creative structures are you seeing? It'd be interesting to know, you know?
Yeah. So I'll start like basic and then we'll get to that. So if any of my, you know, women listening right now, or anybody listening is a realtor, realtors can go from making $0 to $100 in a month. It's a crazy world out there. So, you know, talk to your CPA. If your CPA has not talked to you about becoming an S corp, depending on what state you are, I mean, this is not advice. This is just tips. Take it with a grain of salt, people. Talk to your CPA, because a lot of people that come to me and they're realtors making, you know, $500,000 netting, and they're still an LLC, they're overpaying in self-employment taxes because they're with a transactional accountant who doesn't provide advice, which is fine. But you know, when you tell them, hey, Bob, so, you know, I'm going to charge you, let's say $100 versus what your accountant's charging you $10. They're like, well, no, I can't justify that. But if you really think about it, it's like, you've been paying whatever extra taxes you've been paying, that's how much you've been paying to your accountant. Think of it as an investment. So if you have a business out there, you're wholesaling, you're flipping, an S corp might be a good idea for you. So make sure that if you don't know what that is and you think you might qualify, talk to your CPA. When it comes to real estate, the 1031 exchanges and cost segregation right now are the one thing that is hot, especially cost segregation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we don't do them in hand. In our office, because we're experts at the tax preparation and the planning, but we work with other experts who are 1031 experts, cost segregation experts. So 1031 exchanges, for a really easy way to explain it, is if you have, let's say I want to get to a storage unit, let me sell my entire portfolio of duplex and then go invest that gain into the storage unit. And I'm essentially deferring all of the gain that I would have had and pay taxes on. And you just kind of swap and drop. So you swap this and you drop this and you swap it for something bigger. And the good news is that Biden, who he ran on taking away the 1031 exchange, that's not even on the proposal. So 1031 exchanges still live. So that's great.
The only thing I write about the 1031 exchange is like, just after a while, you just pay, you have so many taxes. So how does that work?
So the strategy that you do is you just eventually, if you have children, you want to inherit that to your children, because then
and they won't have to pay the taxes or
no, okay. Don't gifting. So gifting is different, right? So that's why it's always good to just leave it as to your beneficiaries. He also got rid of the step up basis issue that he was running on. So two major things that for that would have affected the real estate world. He left, which is great. Or they left. I wouldn't say just him. They left alone. So you keep 1031 exchanging it until, you know, one day you pass away and you do it for your children, or you can put me on it. I don't care. Like, just leave me whatever you want. But it's a great strategy.
Well, leave you on my storage facilities.
Yes, please. If you don't have anybody else or you don't like your kids or your family.
I have a five-year-old.
Okay. Well, you can still put me on it.
She's going to be getting a lot of storage facilities. So
I wish my parents would have done that. She is lucky. So yeah. So you just keep going and she'll never have to pay the taxes as long as things don't change. Right. We'll talk about a really big one that's changing after that. So 1031 exchange is awesome. Cost segregation. If you guys don't know what it is, it's essentially you're accelerating your depreciation. So if you buy a building, different for storage units, but let's just say you buy a duplex, you kind of depreciate everything over 27 and a half years. But by doing a cost segregation, you know, an expert comes and they break up the different classes. So you might get some depreciation for 5 years that are higher, some that are 10, some that are 15. So it accelerates your losses. You get more losses at the beginning, I would say. Mm-hmm, yeah. So it's a great strategy.
Yeah, you just want to make sure that you're holding onto those properties for a little while.
Yes. You don't want to go do this. And then, so any depreciation that you take, you pay it back, right? If you sell it. So yes. Don't go take all this depreciation. And that's a huge thing. You know, what's funny, Stacey, I don't know if you've seen the TikTok on like how people are buying like these G-Wagons because they can deduct them 100%. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing for Section 179, but I'm like, okay, people are going to go buy it, and then they think they can just go sell it next year. I'm like, you have to pay it back, right? Like, it's not like you can just get this for free. So plan accordingly.
Exactly. Yeah.
TikTok, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. And then like, and just, and you know, and I think all these terms that we're talking about, if somebody's like, what the heck is cost segregation or 1031? That's exactly what, as you can see, that's exactly what your CPA or your account's supposed to be doing, is like know all this stuff and then strategize with you. So, cause we're going, the reason I'm asking that is cause like, we're buying a lot of facilities. We're buying a couple more facilities and we're going to be selling a couple of them. And this is the first time that we're selling a couple of facilities. And so we're going through this, like with our account, and it's like, okay, should we buy it? I mean, should we hold on to it? Should we refi it out? Should we 1031 exchange it? Should we, or should we owner finance it? Right. So those are kind of the things that we're working through the numbers on, you know, and like, you know, buying properties is just as intense as selling properties. Selling properties are also intense because you just want to make sure that you don't have to pay all those taxes.
Exactly. Selling it is like, okay, you think you make, and that's why in that is a really good point, Stacey, because people right now, the flipping game is out of control. Everyone is a flipper, right? And I'm like, cool, it's a lot of work, but I think people don't understand how much the taxes they can pay. So when they think they made $10,000, I'm like, for what, 2 months? I mean, I know I get $10,000 is a lot, right? But you don't take into consideration the taxes that could be up to 35%. So like, was 10 grand for 2 months really worth it? Like, I personally wouldn't think so, right? So it's like, taxes do play a huge role. So don't just think that because someone on HGTV told you they made 50K in 2 days, that's not how it works.
Yeah. And that's why, like, cause I did a lot of flipping before I got into storage, and I'll never go back to flipping. Although, I mean, I have a lot of students that flip homes, but essentially like what, you know, that's basically what she's talking about, is active income versus passive income really is what it is. Right. So active income would be like wholesaling and flipping, and it's really a job, and you're just paying, like, essentially you're paying capital gains on that. That's what you're doing. You're paying your taxes. Whereas the buy and hold strategy or the passive income strategy, you get to like defer a lot of, you just get to defer a lot of stuff, you know? So that's the difference. That's what she's saying. Right.
Yeah. And it's a great strategy because you can make a good chunk of money easier than going to your 9-to-5, right? A flipping you can make 10K and right. So I think it's a great strategy. And if you're good at just like anything else, it's, you know, it's like, as long as you're good at and you run your numbers, you're not going to buy a property that doesn't make sense. But that's why it's good to get educated, because you see these like big checks, like, oh, someone made $80,000. Yes. But make sure that, you know, the taxes behind it and you're saving, that you're saving for it. Because I get so frustrated. I mean, I don't get frustrated because if people know me, like, I don't really care, because I'm like, that's your fault. Like, why am I stressing out if you didn't take the time to, you know, get educated? But I get a lot of clients who like, oh, 50 grand at the end of the year. And they're like mad about it. And I'm like, where were you all year? Like, you knew how well you were doing. There were things we could have done. And now you're mad and you think that they'll be like, oh, I'm going to another accountant. I'm like, okay, like, go ahead. Like, I don't really care where you're going, but be organized and be proactive.
Yeah. You have to really, I mean, that's what I said. It's all like the numbers part. And actually the truth is the numbers part of your company is the most important part. It really is, but it's also the hardest part. It's the hardest part for anybody to focus on or to strategize about, right? But the truth of the matter is the ones that are successful are the ones that are thinking about their numbers at all times.
Yeah. And like I said, it definitely for me comes in like firsthand, because I'm like, oh, that's easy. Like, obviously you should do your accounting, but it's not easy for people who this isn't their career, or they even like know how to do it. So that's what I'm saying. There's apps out there, YouTube videos, or honestly, it's the value. How much is your time worth? Like for me, I love my realtor. Like, could I go do her job? I'm sure. Right. But I don't want to, because my time is better spent elsewhere. So that's how you have to think about it in any situation. What is your time worth? And I don't think it's worth doing accounting, but I don't know.
Sitting there and doing TurboTax at the end of the year.
Yeah, totally. And totally. But to your point, I will say that I think someone who's like married, doesn't have a business, can do TurboTax and it's like, what, $150?
Yeah.
I think it's so worth it. I think it's literally asked, it's like very how to do taxes 101. But once you have a business, you're wholesaling, you're flipping, whatever it is, like, I definitely don't think you should do it yourself.
Exactly. Like I'm saying, TurboTax is like, let's just say TurboTax is for W-2 people. Now, and then once you get a business, you do need to learn how to use, like, do you use QuickBooks Online to manage everything? Is that kind of what y'all do?
Yep, most of my clients use that. Mm-hmm.
That's what we do too. Internally, we use QuickBooks Online, and essentially I just meet with my bookkeeper, like, you know, whenever I feel like it, a couple times a month, and we just look at numbers and go through and whatever we need to do. But it's actually, I love meeting with him, because it really makes me actually look at the stuff, you know. Otherwise I just go so busy. Like you said, I get so busy, I don't look at it. So I'm looking at stuff. I'm like, man, I spent a lot of money on Starbucks.
It's true though. Or like people live off. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm perfect, because I'm not, because I also get busy and I do my own accounting for my firm but then I look at it and I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I should stop my traveling, or maybe, but it makes sense that you look at your books and do not live off of what's in your bank account. A lot of people do that. Like, you're like, oh, I got a couple hundred K in there. Yes. And then you're like, wait, where did that go? Right. So don't live off what's in your bank account.
If you have a couple hundred K in your bank account, then you should be like investing some money.
Yes.
A waste of money is what I'm saying.
Cash is king, but you know, I don't know what to do. Like, I have it. Okay, I don't have storage units. So I'm still in the duplex. Like,
you should be letting it out. You see all the, you see the people in your groups that are making the money and stuff. You should be.
I know. Like, yeah. I did one hard money lend one. I just, my first one a couple of months ago, but I'm like now just holding on, because I really want to buy something. In Milwaukee. I live in Milwaukee, and it's very easy to get into. Man, do these people want a lot of money for something that's not worth it? So.
Well, I was just up in your area, because I spoke at Green Bay in August.
Oh, that's cool.
And I drove all around Wisconsin looking for some storage facilities to buy.
Well, I'll hook you up with, like I said, my client just got that one up there, and like it's up there. You don't know where it is, but it's very, it's really nice. The numbers look nice. So after this, I'm happy to share that contact. This is why it's great to meet people from different states, because he now has a broker who's looking for storage units. And I'm like, hook me up. I need to.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah. Introduce them to me. I'm always interested in meeting some other storage peeps.
Yeah, no, of course. And let me tell you the story about him. I don't think he's going to mind. It's crazy, because it motivates people. He is probably 32 years old. He started with like us. Well, he bought a plot of land back in the day, which was like worth like $20,000. He split it and sold each for like $90,000. Then he just took all that money, put it into a condo, and he's like, you know what, I'm done with this. And by himself, went and got himself a storage unit. And I was like, wow, that's impressive. He's like, he quit his job. His wife quit her job. Now they're just living off the storage unit and they're one big condo.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Amazing. That's what you're supposed mm-hmm. to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. There's a lot of stories like that in the storage investing world. And so that's good. But no, I appreciate you coming and hanging out with us and like, you know, telling everybody what you do. And so tell everybody, how can they find you? And like, if they're interested in work with you and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So our biggest thing is Instagram. We try to throw out there as much educational information as possible. So my Instagram handle is Anna KCPA with one N. So Anna KCPA. And that is the only way to find us. If you want to work with us, head on over to our website, fill out a questionnaire, and we'll see if it makes sense to work together.
What's your website? Anna K? Or not?
The website is AKK Tax, but if you go to my Instagram, we have everything linked on there, you know, so I know people will just go there and get it.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. That's good. All right. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you. It's great to meet you and talk to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. All right. You guys, thank you so much for hanging out, listening. You can find me, just go to StacyRossetti.com and Anna is AKK.com. No, AKKTaxes.com.
Or Anna KCPA. Yeah. On Instagram. Yeah, Anna KCPA. Yep.
Okay. And, let's see. And then also don't forget to check out, to check out like, you know, all the different types of videos that we have on the website for the Real Estate Pods, because we're here to help you invest in real estate. Okay. All right. Take care, everybody. And I will see you at the next session. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We're so grateful to be able to learn from these active investors, entrepreneurs, and all around amazing individuals who want to share their success with you. The real estate investing community really is a unique community to be a part of. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can rate or review the podcast in whatever podcast app you're listening to. It would mean a great deal to us to learn what you like, what you don't like, and even questions we can answer on your behalf. You can also subscribe to the Real Estate Pod on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.